Today's show is brought to you by Tee It Up for the Troops. Divots can be replaced. Freedom cannot. Portions of this program may not be suitable for those under the age of 18. Parental guidance is suggested, but not mandatory.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
I don't care if it sounds crazy and has a brain injury. He is funny as
We're definitely in support of those that serve.
Rock has two words of advice for you. Simply put, get ready.
There's a lot of nonprofit organizations out there.
I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but that was awesome.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Business can make dreams come true.
The H-Train Show.
The H-Train Show.
On your butt.
Broadcasting from the Colorado Media School in colorful Colorado, it's another episode of the H-Train Show, where here our only mission is to show veterans and all our men and women in uniform all over the world. There are more programs out there beyond the VA. My name is Xander. We have...
I think it was a little early on that.
Yeah, that was Smitty a little bit early.
And then H-Train is taking a break today.
Taking a temporary leave of absence.
Yep. He's not, has a little issue going on. He needs to get checked out this week.
Which I think we're going to be having a changing of the guard here is what it kind of feels like to me.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun time.
All right. So today, our big event is the movie review.
Movie review, yes. Of 1917, the World War One new movie coming out.
And who do we have for the tribute to the troops today, Smitty?
We have Renee Alexander today.
Excellent, excellent. And as always, we have the two-minute warning. We'll preview what we have for next week's show and explain what we learned today on our show.
Yep.
So, anything crazy happened this past couple days?
Not particularly. Nope. We're off. We're out. There it is. And we're back.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Can you hear?
Yep. Something's going on. I don't know.
Yep. Technical difficulties. Work with us.
I think it's the soundboard.
Uh-oh.
Soundboard's
gone. We got major sound issues.
That's okay.
We are still going, though. But yeah, nothing really crazy this week. It was interesting going to see that 1917 review. And also today we're going to be talking about service dogs.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that.
We are going to dive into that, and I got some things to say on service dogs. Let me tell you what.
That's right, because we didn't have the interview of the week, so we're going to be talking about service animals, which all three of us are very well versed in.
All of us have dogs, and all of us have dogs, and you guys have service dogs. My dogs are.
I think the soundboard went out again. Hold on.
Uh-oh. I have no idea. Try it out.
Yeah.
That's better?
Yep, it's gone. We're good.
I think I'm still out.
So this will definitely be a day, for any of the dog lovers out there. Actually, any animal lover.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't love dogs, there's something wrong with you. Oh, yeah. My dog. So on our studio, I put a sign up that says, no girls allowed. Backwards N and girls spelled with a U.
Yep.
And a couple Z's.
Yeah.
But it's all in good fun.
Yep.
If there's any females out there, you're definitely allowed in the studio. You're just... It's like everybody else. It's open
yeah.
door. Open
I think
door.
We only did it because Sweet Chocolate's out today, so we had a... We had to make a statement.
And I totally forgot about that. I hope she's listening, and I hope she is getting better. And tell your husband to go get you some chicken soup.
Chicken soup. That's the key right there.
Ooh, chicken soup and some grilled cheese. Oh, gosh.
That sounds pretty good right now. I'm not going to lie.
I shouldn't have been talking about that. If you want to get us some chicken soup, that'd be cool, too.
Yeah, we would definitely take those donations. We would definitely take those at the studio right now. But, yeah, so... We are going to dive into those service dogs today. That's going to be super interesting to talk about, coming from my background and everything like that. So it's going to be fun.
And my background with service animals as well.
Yeah. But training dogs, talking about how much they cost, the average cost. Do you know the average cost of a service dog?
Oh, yeah.
I think we talked about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like we'll dive into that a lot. But we'll also be talking about should veterans – there's an article that just came out recently, and it's about if veterans would be able to train and adopt service dogs at the VA's expense. So that's an interesting article. Did you get to read that?
Yeah, I skimmed over it a little
bit.
Yeah,
I bet you did. Bet you did.
Hurt my brain just a tad.
Yeah, it's hard to read some of this stuff sometimes because there's just so many problems out there with fake service dogs and everything. And I mean, training, that's a big thing. It's a lot to take on training a service dog properly, because they are not cheap. Cheap at all. And like I'll even start it off right now, like just before we go to break here in a little bit, like most service dogs that I have seen out in public are not good examples of what they should be. Most of the time they're pulling their owner down the street, they're barking at people, they're just in general non-obedient.
It was like last year I was out in Missouri at my buddy's house. We all went up to the mall, and I went to Walmart. A lady that I saw at the mall had a service dog, and she had a sheriff's canine shirt on, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And I'm standing there, and Tilly wasn't my service dog. She was not paying attention to anything. We were walking into the self-checkout at Walmart. This dog starts going off.
Mm, yep, I've seen that plenty of times.
I'm just like, and I'm looking at a lady with this canine shirt on. I'm just like, you know, I understand dogs have certain urges, but at the same time, isn't that dog supposed to not be doing that?
Yeah, your dogs can't be barking at people in public. Like if it's a service dog or in a restaurant or some kind of establishment, like they can't be barking at people. Like that's like the craziest thing ever.
It's just,
it's hard to watch sometimes because like you can only ask the two questions if someone says, if they're trying to bring their dog in, is it a service dog and what task does it provide?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. And they can just BS you too, like super easy. Like, yep. And it's this, and really, and you really can't even legally ask them anything else. Well, it seems.
That was like my apartment complex was talking about my service dog, and they were, you know, going into details and asking more questions. I'm like, you know, you're only allowed to ask two questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's past those two questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even have to tell you what my disability is.
Yep. Nope. Definitely not.
Like, I don't need to be out there telling, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that, you know, hey, I have diabetes.
Yeah.
It's none of your business that, you know, yep. I have a certain disease. That's supposedly what the HIPAA Act was supposed to
That's kind of what why the ADA goes over those kind of things, because, like, you can't dive too far into asking people personal questions like that. Like, it's not your issue.
Yeah, I've told people at Walmart before taking Tilly in, or even my other dog, Sherlock, when I take him in sometimes, they look at me. And, like, my dogs, you know, when I take them out into public and I want to take them into an establishment, most of the time I'll have their little collars on with the service dog, except Sherlock has destroyed all those little markings due to his scratching. And, like, I'll walk in, and sometimes I'll get to that point where I'm like, yeah, you know, okay, I'll go ahead and explain to you why I need this service animal. And other times I'm like, I don't care. It's none of your business.
Yeah. Just, like, go away. Get away from
just
me.
Just know that these aren't some little chihuahua that, you know, I need in my purse to make me feel better about mm-hmm. myself. And
an emotional support dog?
Yeah.
Which are not service dogs? They're completely different.
I want a emotional support gorilla.
Yeah, right? That'd be super fun. That's pretty much what I have, is a support silverback gorilla dog. Like, I have two dogs. So I have two dogs myself, a Cane Corso and a Chihuahua mix. Who I like to say is mixed with a Malinois because he's just a little savage.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
I mean, like, I do a little bit of bite work with him, like, with one of his, like, toys and everything. And, like, he actually grips pretty well. Like, it's super interesting. And, like, I'll work with both of my dogs playing with their grip work and everything. But neither of my dogs are service dogs. Both of my dogs have bitten people and kids, actually. Just bad situations the owners put them in. And, yeah, definitely. But just bad situations that their former owners put them in. They had a bad day. The owners made a bad decision multiple different times, it seemed. And even though the families that both my dogs came from were great people, they just couldn't properly control my dogs.
Idiot!
Oh, my two monsters are starting to get out of hand, too. And I think it's a lot to do with I haven't really been working with them as much.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot with my dogs either. I'm like, they're 8 and 9 years old, so they're getting up. They're just lazy couch potatoes that kind of keep me warm in bed at night.
Bazinga!
Well, if I was sleeping in my bed, my dogs would be keeping me nice and cool or warm, too.
Yeah.
On the couch for 3 weeks.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I sleep with one on each side of me every night. Like the Chihuahua's on the left, like, and my Chihuahua buries himself underneath my blanket. Like, I have like a little top blanket, and he like buries himself underneath it, and the Corso just lays right next to me too. So like I'm like sandwiched underneath both of my blankets, and I can like it's like a little cocoon.
Yeah, and I have my cool cat that sleeps above my head.
But yeah,
oh, I did see. Did you hear about that guy that had a service bee?
No, what?
I was literally I was scrolling through, and I saw it on Facebook or Instagram that somebody had turned a bee into a service animal.
Wow. Just provides them honey all day long.
All I have to say is I applaud you, sir, but if your service bee gets out of control and stings somebody, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, I mean, people have been trying to take everything as a surface animal or emotional support or something. Like, some lady tried boarding a plane with a peacock, saying it was an emotional support peacock.
I'd allow it.
That's definitely, like, way crazy, I think. But, like, I still haven't met a service miniature pony yet. Like, I want to meet one of those.
Oh, man, you do not want to get... We don't have enough time on this show to get me started about that stupid service horse nonsense.
I think that'd be cool. Like, I would ride them around everywhere.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, I was talking to a lot of the different airlines because I was going up to Syracuse around the Halloween time, and I wanted to go up, and I wanted to take both of them. And they said that anything 80 pounds or over is not allowed.
Oh, yeah.
But clearly on your website, it says that you're allowing service horses.
I wonder how big those service horses get.
Guaranteed they're over 80 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, my dog's 110. Like, definitely probably three times as big.
Oh, yeah. even at a brand new colt. Those things got at least 100 pounds easily.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to see how big they get.
The miniature horses?
Yeah.
Probably good 300-400 pounds, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd probably see that too.
Easily.
But some of them, I mean, super tiny. Like, they're like, geez.
Oh, those must be the ones that they're talking about, is those little ones.
The super miniature ones. Like, that would be interesting. Like,
okay, I could
see.
It
looks like
a
dog almost.
I could see that. We used to go to the Oregon State Fair, me and my mom and dad, and we'd watch those horses all the time.
Yeah.
And with the little carriages around.
It's as big as a baby.
Okay,
like, that's crazy.
I want one of those now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right, folks. Well, we are about to jump into our first music break. And then when we come back, we're going to get into our Facebook Live discussion.
Yes. And we will see you guys soon.
Hey, Okay, yes. My name is Ben Bartow. I'm the owner of Bartow Antler Knives and the founder and president of the Horns for Heroes Foundation that we adopted about 3 years ago, and also the owner of BartowWorld.com. And you're listening to the H-Train Show.
All right, welcome back to the H-Train Show, folks. We are back from our first musical break.
And we are about to do the movie review on 1917.
It actually made me feel like I was back in 1917, by the way.
Right. So we're just waiting to get the trailer rolling here for you guys real quick. Just give you a quick little preview, and then we'll kind of... go over what we thought of the movie this past week.
Oh man, that thing hurt my brain.
It did to me too. It's really nicely made, but the story on the other hand, I'm not quite sure on. Wait to get audio real quick. But yeah, it was shot super nice, I think. I mean, it's like one continuous clip. It looks like it was all done like
smooth.
Like it was all shot at the same time, but there's like really subtle transitions in there too. So it was really nicely produced, and like the cinematography. Mm. That's a big word. The cinematography was super nice in it, but there was just a few things out of place that...
it doesn't look like we're
going to
get audio.
I'd just go ahead. So, yeah, we'll just kind of go over and... this kind of at, like, they jump around quite a bit. Oh, you remember this scene? That's one of the best ones where all the guys sitting down together in that group.
Oh,
remember
okay.
What happened there? We'll go over that here in a little bit.
There's a lot of things in there. If you're a member of the military community, you're going to pick up on quick.
You're going to scratch your brain. It's kind of hard to watch at times. But, it was pretty well done. I mean, again, the cinematography was incredible. Like, it was really good. And I've heard it's been getting good reviews all online everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing too. It's just one of the movies this year that's come out that's just, well, it hasn't actually come out yet.
Yeah, it comes out on the 24th or 25th on Christmas, I think.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
If I'm not mistaken, really close to there. I should check that real quick.
I just lost my train of thought. I hate when I do that.
But, so it was getting good reviews and everything, but I think it was – I've been seeing, people – some people even like the story, I think.
It was just – the story was weird.
Yeah, it was – yeah, it gets released December 25th, right on Christmas. So we got to see it just a little bit beforehand. But – yep.
Hello, Blake.
So, yeah. It's, really interesting movie. I think you guys should go see it. I'm just going to wait until it comes out.
That's
watch it on my big TV. But seeing it in theaters was pretty interesting. So, like, they start off getting a good little mission to go and help some people out. And as you can kind of see, they have to go and try to save these people from annihilation, basically. And it's just two guys on a mission, kind of like Saving Private Ryan, mm-hmm. to go and find this unit that's like, I think in the movie,
it's like a video.
It's like 20 to 30 miles, or they're like 10, 20 miles away from where they have to go. So they just have to walk through hell, essentially, to get there. But, like, it was really this plane crash. That was, like...
That was the scene that got me.
It was, just like, no. Like, no part of that made sense, really.
There was two parts. I'm not going to mention what happened in the one part, but the unit that was on the other side of the house that they just walked out of, like, why weren't they coming in there?
We're just now watching that because we forgot to go live, so... Go ahead and start over.
So, what's that?
We forgot to hit the live, so start over.
On the entire thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just now watching.
Well, all right, and we're back, guys. We're about to do the movie review for 1917. And we're going to just watch the trailer real quick, kind of go over it, and give you guys our thoughts about the movie. So.
Did I just witness that guy flag his buddy there?
Oh, I'm sure he did. Walk yeah. Right. That'd be the probably smallest part of the problem of the movie. In all honesty. But, I mean, yeah, we're talking about the cinematography was incredible during the movie, but there's just some things about the story that just kind of, I think, hit all of us a little bit wrong.
The one thing I noticed, too, if you, certain war movies that you watch, the cameras are really, really shaky.
Yeah.
This movie, everything was really clean, smooth.
Hyper smooth. I mean, like, there's no shake in this. Besides some spots where he's, like, running through some explosions.
Yeah, there's
a couple
of spots. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure the people out in the radio world know what I'm talking about as well.
Mm-hmm. But the cinematography was awesome. The storyline, not so much. There's a lot of things, if you're a veteran or currently serving or know someone who served, like, There's a few things that they got quite wrong in here, I feel. Just things that would not have happened tactically, and just some ridiculous moments.
But I think for being 1917, though, wouldn't you kind of expect things like that to happen?
A little bit, I guess.
He's in the military, he's just getting started and getting strong, building up. And
yeah. But there's, I mean, oh. I don't know, though. I mean, we've had an army. People have been fighting for a long time. And, yeah, we've had the, like, greatest army.
Since Adam and Eve, basically.
Since Adam and Eve. But, I mean, I don't even think back then they would have done some of these things. Maybe. Who knows? But, I mean, it was just a super interesting movie, and watching it from a modern perspective of a veteran.
Now, when you saw just that last part with him running through the field of fire, that honestly, when I was sitting there watching it, it reminded me of like a modern warfare.
Yeah.
Modern warfare game.
Yeah. Like, the one thing that hit me was, like, in 1917, that they were getting to the end of the war, and I don't... it may have just been, like, done on purpose, because, like, they definitely got the like scorched earth scenes in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't think that there was this much green where they were fighting at. Like, it was probably all destroyed, like, just bombed and just mortared to hell. Like, it would, I don't think be that green.
What point of the war is this in, too?
Like, I think it's toward the end.
I mean, if it's towards the end, then yeah, I wouldn't think there'd be any sort of.
Yeah.
Greenery.
Like, it would
anywhere.
All look like this.
Yeah.
It would all look like that. Like, where they finally left the trench, and and they were like, yeah, you can't go out there. They're like, we got to.
We're going to go back to the sponsor page, make sure they know who sponsored it, because they didn't see it. All right.
All right. But yeah, we're just going back to the sponsor page real quick. We had some little technical difficulties starting this one. This is like the second time we've done it, so we're still learning a little bit. But yeah, just some of these parts, I mean, didn't seem, I mean, it's a movie, so yeah. I get it.
You're
it's
not,
Hollywood.
Not be correct on everything.
Yeah. And, like, some of it was done okay. Like, I don't know. Like, to be honest, like, I fell asleep twice during it. Like, that's how bored, like, I was getting with it.
That was the first one I haven't fallen asleep to.
Yeah. Like, I woke back up, like, when that plane was crashing, and then the whole situation happened right after that, and I was like, no way.
What is this?
Like, it was just, you guys have to go see it, but it's, like, such a ridiculous moment all at once. Like, there's, like, three or four things that happened within, like, 10 minutes that I was just like, nope, nope, nope.
Now, you see, that part where it just showed him running through the fire right there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure in a real wartime situation, because I've been in a guard tower that was hit by a mortar.
Yeah.
I wasn't running like that.
Oh.
There wasn't that much movement coming out after we got hit with that mortar.
Yeah. Are you talking about his, like, wobbly shaking?
No, like, I'm pretty sure that first round that would have landed next to him. Nah.
He would have.
Yep. Yep, done.
Just down.
Done.
Yep.
Something. Some sort of shell shock or, you know, your bell's going to get rung.
Yeah, I think, like, that's, like, when he's running through the trenches just like this, like, he was, like, that was a big thing back then, just from getting shelled and mortared just constantly. It, like, messes up your equilibrium and you just go all wonky.
Oh, it does, because I fell down the stairs.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to, you know, figure out what was going on. I'm just really wobbly. I'm just like, oh, God. And yeah. I turned around and just
ears ringing.
Fell right over. Yep.
Yep. Like, I remember a video from Afghanistan that, like, I think they dropped, like, a 500-pound bomb on themselves. And, like, these guys got up, and they're kind of like, whoa, like, and then they go around, like, they're on the top of a mountainside, and they might have given him, like, the wrong grid or something. Like, I'm not entirely sure what happened, but, like, they literally thought it was going to hit somebody across this valley or something, and they ended up dropping it right on their position. Jeez. And, like, everybody survived it. Like, it just barely missed them, but, like, it took out a couple of bee huts. And, like, all those guys, like, you saw the smoke and everything. Like, you definitely felt it through that video. And then they just got up and, like, really slow, started checking on everybody. But, yeah, not a fun place to be.
Oh, even, like, the IEDs that we've – I didn't personally hit, but I was on the mission when they were hit, and I was close by. You still
feel it in your chest.
You feel a lot of it. Yeah. Even if you're, you know, 40, 50, 60 meters away from somebody, you're still feeling it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's like, yeah, like, again, just the
but like the old Modern Warfare when they did the World War II.
Yeah. That was my favorite one.
Honestly, like, that game, if that's any indication of what the vets of the day had to go through, holy crap.
Right?
That's a video game that I was playing. That's the first video game that I ever played to where I'm just like, whoa, I need to let me take a break from this real quick and you know, go collect my thoughts. Like,
it's crazy.
I haven't even gotten into the new video game yet, so
not worried about it. Yeah, I play a little bit of the mobile right now, but that's pretty much it. But I never have time for it, so it doesn't really happen.
I don't have time for anything these days.
It's yeah, nice. Never. But what was the other part we wanted to talk about? Like, I don't want to spoil it too much for everybody, because, I mean, you just have to go and see for yourself. Like, I can't really...
Oh, to me, they're trying to figure out how to put this into words. It just didn't really... The story just bang right there. I mean, I get it's a movie. Story opens up all the way through. Bang, story done and end.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, hey, where's the backstory? Why? What's going on here?
Yep.
And the biggest thing that bugged me, and I know it bugged you too, is when everybody broke out in song like it was the U.S. Navy, and the one guy comes sneaking through the line.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
the entire way.
That was the biggest thing. I'm just like, you're in this position, you're in this war, and you don't have a like patrol or like a security perimeter. Yeah, OPs and everything just like out there. Because like they, one of the main characters literally walked into someone's position, and there was like a platoon of men sitting down singing.
Oh no, it was bigger than that.
He, like a platoon company, maybe.
At
like,
least
he just walked in. Like he like turns a corner, walks into the woods a little bit, and just walks in on a whole company. And no challenge password, no nothing.
Speaking of,
yeah,
that's the spot right there.
If you don't get there in time, we will lose 1,600 men.
I'm at a loss.
Your brother among them. Good luck.
Cancel out of that.
So when we don't want it to play.
Yeah, exactly. And here it is again. But yeah, like I'm pretty sure that was like
that was the part right there.
Biggest part I talking didn't about. Like. Yeah. He just walks in on a platoon or a company. No challenge password. Like Christmas. No, nothing.
What in the fresh hell?
I can't believe how easy it was to cook. I could have been making ham.
Just trying to get this. There it is. All right.
Man, technologies.
Yeah. But yeah, like, there's no way you would be able to walk into a patrol base without at least a challenge password and, like, seeing somebody before you get to like a company size element of men sitting in a circle all together, like a huddle,
huh.
And
hey,
just be like, hey, what's up? I'm just gonna sit down right here.
What's the verse on this? Let me get some sheet music.
Yeah, there's like no security whatsoever presented at any point in this movie. Like they're just like walking, staring at the ground the entire time, pretty much.
But if you think about it, if I don't know if I want to make this comment or not. This is not bad or derogatory, but if you throw all the stuff that the military does into a movie or documentaries,
I get where you're going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get where you're going there. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, I can see why, you know.
But even for Lone Survivor, Marcus Luttrell was like, if you mess this up, we'll kill you. Like, he literally told that to the director, the producer of it, and, like, he was there for all the tactics. Like, all the actors went through, like, at least a month of gun training and tactics training from Marcus Luttrell and the guys he knows. Like, So
like Keanu Reeves does his training.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves. I mean, like that's some of the coolest like three gun work like ever. Like that's awesome stuff.
I like it when they had him. They showed the video of him and Halle Berry at the range.
Yep.
I was like, jeez, Halle's looking good still.
Good. Yeah. Way, but I mean, she's been good looking forever. Like, do you remember Swordfish?
$120,000. Per.
Hmm?
Each side, $120,000.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Just for that.
Yeah.
Not to mention what else she got for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. But yeah, super, super interesting movie. Again, I fell asleep twice in it. I was a little amazed, even with how much was going on.
You may have just done that.
Yep.
Oh, I can
today.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you're not in the, not in the mic, but they can hear you coming through our mics.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't really talk because I got some medical stuff going on. But basically, I told them, God, I sound like, hey, you guys from Goonies.
Hey, you guys.
Oh yeah.
But what I was trying to say is, if there's a good movie, good, well done, mm-hmm. it's the first of its kind. The plot I didn't find very inspiring, but the video, the detail, very good. And when it comes to the movie type, if you are comparing it to Saving Private Ryan, which a lot of people are,
yeah,
you're going to be let down.
Well, I think that's what anybody compares any war movie to.
So, yeah. I mean, again, the cinematography in this movie is, like, straight incredible. Like, everything was shot really nicely, and I got no complaints on that.
I don't think it's one of those movies that I could continuously, like, say on a Saturday where I have nothing to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a really rainy day, just sit there and keep watching over and over and over.
Yep.
It's not one of those. No.
Yeah. Not, I don't think so. Well, all right. We are going to go to our next radio break, and we will. What's that?
Tribute to Troops.
Oh, we are going to go to the Tribute to the Troops next.
Brandy's definitely got us hooked up with that.
Yep.
This is an MBR moment of peril.
That's right. I don't know how to tell this story.
Well, you got to, Joe. You tell the American people what these men did here. You tell them how my troopers died.
Could I make that sacrifice? If I came down to it, could I take the forever? Yes, I would.
Hey, everyone. This is Brandy with this week's Tribute to the Troops to honor Renee Alexander, 45, of Atlanta, Georgia, who passed away on November 3rd, 2019. Alexander served in the United States Navy for 2 years. The Exchange Show send our thoughts and prayers to Alexander's family and friends during this difficult time.
And Brandy, thank you for that beautiful tribute to the troops, as always. You definitely have a difficult job there. It's not one that I would take lightly and that I could probably do myself.
Yeah, definitely not. Not yet. But, yeah, that was really nice.
Going music break.
And we will be right back. We're going on a quick music break, and we'll see you guys soon. And the discussion is next.
We'll be back next, going on a music break, and when we come back, discussion is next. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. It's the Ace Range Show.
Tom Kilgannon, president of Freedom Alliance, and you're listening to the H-Train Show.
All right, H-Train Show, we are back.
Back at it again. And now we're going to talk about dogs even more than we already have. So this is going to get interesting. Like, let's go over this article real quick. Because there's, this is going to get interesting.
Should veterans be allowed to train their own service animals and have the VA pay for that?
I'm just going to go flat out with...
Hold on a second. We're going to hit the bumper before we jump into it. Let's keep talking.
Oh, so, yep. So, I'm just going to put it out there. No.
No. Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because no. I don't think you should be having everybody off the street as a veteran running around with a self-trained service dog. And if people didn't see me, I was just making little finger quotes.
A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety. What are you talking about? Oh, have you not heard?
Come by and bring us some good news.
Tidbits.
And we're back. So, veterans training service dogs. Both of us are kind of in agreement with no. Because, so if the listeners don't know, the average price for a service dog... You want to sit back down, man?
Oh, no, I'm good.
So the average price for a service dog, according to some places, is $20,000 to $60,000. And I've seen service dogs that someone paid or got donated $40,000 that wasn't even worth three or five or anything over like a grand, like if that. These dogs are, well, they're pulling their owners down the street. They're barking at other people and dogs in public places, and just a general nuisance.
That was the one thing that bothered me is, so I left, it was like 4:30 in the morning the other day. I'd already left, went to the gym, getting ready for my day. And my apartment complex was saying that my dog was barking at somebody. And I was like, really? Because I haven't been home since, 4 a.m. And I didn't get home until about 11 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
Is a Monday morning, or is a Monday. And I was like, there's no way. I was like, two, my dogs don't even bark when the door gets knocked on.
Yeah, I couldn't make my dog service dogs even if I wanted to. I wouldn't even attempt it because like they're like borderline just wild dogs. I mean, like I have a Chihuahua. Like he's notorious for being not friendly and likes to bark at everything that comes near him.
Oh, they do. That's all Chihuahuas do. Is they bark, shake, puke, and
mine's actually super good. I mean, my Chihuahua, like, I've done, like, I got him when I trained him initially, so I got both of my dogs from their owners who I was training. Like, my Chihuahua, I did a 2-week board and train on him and got him off-leash capable. Like, I still have the before and after video of me training him, actually. Like, it was crazy. Walking around a lake in Minnesota, Lake Calhoun in Minneapolis, and my little 20-pound Chihuahua, he's a little thick guy. I mean, he's just muscular, though. Like, I see, that's why I think he's mixed with a Malinois. Like, he's crazy. He likes to do bite work. Like, he's fun. But the first video, like, the before video, is me walking him around the lake, and there's runners and bikers and other dogs everywhere, and he's just at the end of the leash at full tilt, just pulling, snapping at everything that comes close to him. I mean, he tripped me up a little bit in the video too, but afterward, like, I off-leash healed him through a off-leash dog park down by on the Mississippi River, and through dogs and people, he stood right next to my side walking with me perfectly. Even some other little small dog kind of cut him off, and he kind of just like swerved around that small dog and kept it pretty close to my side. Yeah, go me. I'm pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, and small dogs are harder to train than large dogs, I think. I mean, smaller dogs don't have, like, generally the drive that larger working breeds do, obviously. So
no, definitely
you're
not.
Just not going to get that much out of them. But, I mean, my Chihuahua, I mean, he's, like, he's awesome. Like, he is the only small dog that I have ever liked enough to own. So when the owners called me about a year and a half ago now, I think, they said that he didn't like their first kid and his friends, and they're about to have a second child, and there's like, we have to find another place for him. It's like, okay, not a problem. He is the only small dog that I would ever want, and I actually drove home to Minnesota and picked him up and drove him back. Like, but they gave me everything with them, but I mean, they didn't keep up on the training though themselves. I mean,
yeah.
Granted, being a dog trainer is, it's a lot of work. I mean,
you train it's not just the work with them up front. It's the continuous work. And that's the thing that I'm seeing with my dogs right now is, since I haven't really been, I have that 24-hour monitor. I haven't been needing to check my sugars in the morning. I haven't needed to do the same things that I was doing before.
Yeah.
That for the reason I have the service dogs.
Yeah. And I mean, all dogs are, is, I mean, you just have to set a routine and maintain it. That's why, I mean, just the time it takes to create that dog, I don't think veterans are going to have that in their day, coupled with not having the knowledge and skill level to be able to train a dog properly. I mean, it's a lot of work, and it's, you have to know.
It definitely is.
You have to know, like, processes, like, to a T, to train that dog. I mean,
and you also have to know the dog itself.
Yeah. Know just, your dog. Yeah. That's like one of my favorite quotes. Like, know your dog. Like, NKNOW and NO. Like, little play on words. Know your dog. But,
like, I know with Tilly, if anything's going on, you throw a toy. That's what she's focused on.
Yeah.
You do that with Sherlock, he's going to look at you like, whatever, man. Go back to scratching himself. That's all he does.
But yeah, so like service dogs, I mean, there's multiple different kinds, different tasks that they should be providing. PTSD dogs, I think, is just like a calm dog that just lays down and is completely quiet and just wants to get cuddled sometimes. I think that's like a perfect example. H-Train, this man has a wonderful dog.
Oh, God,
I mean, he just lays there. He'll take pets from everybody. He
does. All three of his dogs are like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't met the other two yet. But, yeah, I think he's a perfect example of a really good service dog. He just lays down. He takes pets from everything. I mean, and it's allowed with him because he is so good, and he just wants to be, I mean, he's a good therapy dog. Like, he could probably go to hospitals and, mm-hmm. like, do good things with, like, kids in hospitals. That'd be, like, awesome.
That was one thing that bothered me earlier this year is my service dog, Tilly, I was told she wasn't allowed in the hospital with me.
Hmm.
Because it's not the nurse's responsibility to have to take her outside or feed her or anything like that. And I was like,
that's hard. Oh my
God! Give me the wheelchair and let me go outside.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, dogs definitely help get veterans mobile again in multiple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's that story in the article that we were reading. It's the guy had problem walking, and his dog helped him walk from, like, he couldn't make, like, 76 steps or something, or 75 steps initially. Yeah. And after he started walking. He got walking a couple of miles.
Yeah, he's up to five now.
Yeah, so like, I think dogs definitely help veterans in a multitude of ways, but high end service dogs, granted, like diabetic detection, guide dogs. I'm trying to think of some other
epileptic dogs.
Yep,
or seizure dogs.
Or if a veteran, and then there's like item retrieval, which is just a command, basically, just like everything else. But I don't think the most part of veterans don't quite understand everything with how a dog thinks, how it's meant to be trained, just the maintenance and upkeep every day. Like training dogs in a company is incredibly hard, I think. I mean, I've had a fun time doing it. But I've definitely needed a break because it is just mentally taxing. I mean, because you literally wake up to dogs and you go to bed to dogs. Like, that is the life. It is a great life. Don't get me wrong, but it's a hard one for sure. It is a very hard one. And sometimes you don't get a lot of sleep because you're working with puppies. Mm-hmm. And you got to get up at different parts of the night to let them out, or you're going to come into a messy kennel, and that's never fun, though it's going to happen anyways. But like it's a lot of patience, timing, successive approximation is probably the greatest, term to use in dog training. Just small steps leading up to the final big process. And I mean, that's a lot of different steps with dogs. I mean, dozens of them. I mean, like, you're working on the basic commands alone, a recall, a sit, a place command, I hope. That's one of my favorite commands to teach. And then healing and downing. I do downing last because it's a harder command because it's just full submission, and some dogs don't want to submit for people.
So I was watching the actual video of I don't know how credible this guy was. I was just looking at different YouTube videos, and he was saying that when people say that they train their dog to German commands because they don't want somebody else controlling their dog, that's nonsense.
No, it's real. Most people don't know the German language.
This is the first thing that I thought that came out the top of my head, because I use German commands with both of my dogs, mm-hmm. and somebody out in public asked me one time, they're like, "What did you just say?"
Yeah, they're like,
and I was like, it's a word. I was like, it's a German command to have my dog.
I told him to come here, basically.
I told her what it was. I mean, I didn't think she's gonna be one of those malicious people to do anything.
Right? Yeah. A lot of people are super curious when it comes to dogs and everything. And yeah, if you start speaking in Dutch or German or any other kind of foreign language, I mean, but it's like, it's not teaching a dog a different language. It's just a different word, essentially. Yeah. Like, because you can even teach your dog command discrimination, basically not allowing anybody else to tell your dog what to do. It's a trained behavior, because you have to do repetitions with other people. You have to tell your dog what to do, reward it. Another person has to tell your dog what to do, and then dog will probably try to do it, but you have to slightly correct the dog and redirect him to back onto a place command, preferably, and just kind of repeat process until he doesn't do it for the other person. He only does it for you. But there's, again, small differences in the process of dog training with every command out there. Like a recall, like every time your dog comes back to you, you have to tell it good. Doesn't matter how long it took. Granted, if your dog doesn't come to you, you should probably just keep it on the leash and in your hands. But I see this everywhere. And every time, it's like sometimes a dog goes back to its owner and they're like, "Bad dog." I'm just like, that's the worst thing you could possibly do. Your dog just came to you eventually. You need to put it on a leash and kind of rework that. But I mean, you're going too fast for your dog. Your dog does not know the command. If you had to say it 50 times, I mean.
Well, that into it, like, honestly, I think Sherlock, I love him to death. He's part of my family now, but God, I want to
I think I heard that earlier.
we were just so I showed up. I went and got some lunch. Decided to show up to, you know, a little bit early, get some things done here, and he went and peed outside three times. And I go down to Diana's office, and I'm talking to her because I haven't been to school in, you know, a couple weeks. And he's walking around, and, you know, doing his little meet and greets and everything. And all of a sudden, I hear, I was like, "Oh, cup!"
Just marking. Is he neutered?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, I need to take him to the vet. And I was thinking about this the other day because he's been going to the house a lot more.
Oh yeah, that's no good.
And I don't know. I know, like, the past couple of times has been my fault, and I haven't been angry about it because I've just been too lazy to get up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm just there, and I'm like, oh, I don't feel like moving. I don't know.
Yeah, just going through your things.
And then once I get up, like, this morning, I totally forgot to take him out last night, fell asleep on the couch. Woke up this morning, it was like 5:30, and I was like, oh, God. I didn't give him their evening meal. I didn't take him out.
Oh, dang.
I feel bad when I do things like that, when it's, you know, something's going on where I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like I'm taking it out on the dog when I'm not feeling good.
Yep, that's a thing.
And I honestly feel bad, like, you know, they can't do the things for themselves. Like, you know, if I'm hungry, you know, I walk to the refrigerator, grab a meal.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if I have to go to the bathroom, I just walk in there and go.
Dogs don't know. They just kind of get trained with through repetition and consistency and patience and timing and all those things that everybody needs. Dogs need it too. And just going out and going back into the kennel if they don't go to the bathroom, and then repeating process every 10, 20 minutes or so until they do. Mm-hmm. Big reward. You can play around with them then because they should be running on empty if they just went.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's potty training sucks to do.
He's 4 years old.
It's crazy.
28 years.
He's got a little attitude. Inhumans. Yeah. But like the only time that my dog, my Mastiff, my Cane Corso has ever gone to the bathroom inside is when I was really wasted one night and he came in and he had like a stomach flu or something. It was a fluke night. I mean, he's never done it since.
You should tell them if they have questions.
Yep, you hear that, folks? I've done this for quite a few years now, on and off, and this is all I like to study on my free time. So if you want to contact me, you can definitely do that at any time you would like. I know potty training, which, again, sucks to work on, but it is absolutely essential. It's one of the most important things, I feel, because if your dog goes to the bathroom inside, you're not going to be happy, and there goes a good relationship right off the start because of potty issues. Not good.
Now, if anybody wanted to get a hold of Smitty, go ahead and text or give us a call at 720-619-0627, or if there's just anything you want to talk about, I guess. I don't really.
Yep. Anything you want to ask me. I am all here. I'm not working for a company right now or anything, or even doing it solo.
What I think we need to do? See if we can get a hold of somebody over at at the Springs with the either the MPs or the canine unit out there, and see if we can't get out there and do a little.
Well, that's quite interesting because I know I am Facebook friends with the Kennel Master.
But let's get him in there.
He's he's a special guy, being down in the Springs. But yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's on point.
Well, but get a hold of him. See if we can get the video camera out there. Maybe that little.
I will see what I can do.
Special drone.
I'll
throw a suit on.
Doing bite work. Like I've done bite work. I've done basic obedience. Puppy training, all the way up to adult dogs. I just like to focus on basic obedience, really. Like, that is kind of, like, my bread and butter. I've done the bite work. I've done explosive detection. I've done narcotics detection a little bit. But basic obedience is, like, the bread and butter of everything. If you don't have that, you don't have a service dog, in my mind.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing was, last year, I've told you about my buddy that worked for the sheriff's department that was the canine handler that passed.
Yep.
served with him in Germany. I just lost my whole train of thought.
Well, yeah. So I've done like pretty much not everything. I mean, I haven't done the European like dog sports and everything like IPO, Schutzen, KMPV. Like, there's a lot of different ones, and like I think I think agility is just nothing more than just advanced obedience.
Oh yeah.
Like it's good stuff to teach your dog, but you need some basics even before you get to that point, because if your dog's not controlled doing just basic obedience,
you're not going to have him run through one of those courses.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. Or even like having other problems with your dog. Like if your dog is just constantly running, it might not ever sit for you if mm-hmm. you don't work on that.
Yeah. What I was going to say about when I was telling you about my buddy.
Yep, go ahead.
So when he passed last year, I went up to Oregon, and I'd only had Tilly at the time. And we went up there, and we were driving back, and another buddy of mine was like, hey, you know, the Yankees are playing Oakland. Yeah. And so I was all – he'd already told me, you know, check out, you know, San Francisco, go check out Tahoe, all that stuff. And I'm just like, you know, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Don't really care. And so I get down there to Oakland A's Stadium, and the game's over with. I'm – instead of trying to, you know, go through the concourse and, you know, bumping into people – I decided to start walking on, you know, where the seats are at to get out. I'm walking by. I had one of these nice big green olive vests with service dog and my little couple of patches on there for Tilly. Guy walks by and he's like, oh God. And I was like, you don't like dogs? I mean, you know, I'm sorry. And he, no. And I was like, what's going on, man? I was like,
you got some stuff on you.
I was like,
he's gonna sniff it out.
And he was like, is that a drug dog?
I knew it.
And I was like, no, this is a service dog. Oh, why is she sniffing my pocket? That's where I had my dope at. And I was
busted.
Like,
that's hilarious.
I was like, it's Cali. It's weed's legal down here, dude. I don't care. I was like, I'm not a cop.
That's great.
And she honestly does. She looks like a straight-up canine. Yeah,
they look like working dogs.
Yeah. And a lot of people, when they see her, they're like, when we did that thing out there at Aurora Mall for the first responders and the Heroes event, Heroes Fest, a lady came up and she was like, are these canines?
Yes. And me. I love that question. Cause like, can I get my dog to be a canine? I'm just like, well, technically, like, all dogs are canines, but like,
I knew what she meant.
Yeah.
Because they
had
the other canines out there.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the way they look, she was thinking. And
German
was
Shepherds.
Like,
yeah. I think everybody thinks German Shepherds are all working dogs.
I was like, just being a smart, you know, smart idiot. And like, yeah. Yep, they're canines. Yep, exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Dog to layperson.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's, like, crazy how dogs have, like, stigmas on them. Like, my Cane Corso, like, he's banned in like, every place around here. Like, he's banned in Europe. Like, he's banned, like, apartment complexes and, like...
They're on the list?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's...
It sucks. I mean, he's a great dog, but I mean, it's for a purpose. I mean, it's like an ancient breed from Rome that mm-hmm. used to be a Roman war dog. Like, they take him into combat and use him in the
purpose.
Gladiator arenas. Like, they were huge monsters and they messed up a lot of stuff.
I saw one down in Georgia. I was at a coffee shop just hanging out, and I felt something hitting my foot.
Yeah.
And I looked down, and I was like, oh, God.
Gargoyle dogs are huge. I love them.
Almost lost all bowel control.
All right, folks, we are at our next music break. We will be back shortly. What the moment? And you're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofits out there beyond the VA, the H-Train Show.
This is Christy Honeywell. I'm the president and CEO of Operation Paperback, recycled reading for our military, and you are listening to the H-Train Show.
And we're back, the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA, the H Train Show.
Choo-choo.
So we got our What the Moment for the day from Xander. He, I think we talked about it a little bit earlier.
Hey, those are cool tats, man.
Oh, for real. Thank you, bro. You see the cobra?
Yeah, what is this one?
Oh, this? That's my credo. No regrets. Mm-hmm.
You have no regrets?
Dad?
No.
Like, not even a single letter?
No way. Not me.
Well, I love him. I think he's great.
Okay.
I think he's a real winner, Casey. If I were you, I wouldn't use protection.
What the?
And we're back. So, Xander, what do we got today for our What the Moment?
All right. So, as I said earlier, this is something that's been creating a lot of buzz, by the way.
I think I get it.
So, in Prescott Valley, Arizona, a man, his name is David Keller. Him and his family don't really keep a whole lot of bees around. And after he noticed a problem, as we've been talking about service animals today, he noticed a dog wasn't trained. That's how he knew it wasn't a service animal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also went online and started doing some research and found out that there's a bunch of different websites, like the one that he'd gone to was like USDAServiceAnimals.org or something like that. You go and sign your dog up, and it's a service animal.
Yep. If you got the card, it must be legit.
I mean, I have a card, but I didn't go on his website to get it.
Yeah. Like, you can apparently go out to numerous websites and companies and just pay a quick little fee, fill out some information, and boom, you get a service dog card in the mail.
Yeah, I was just looking at this.
Yeah.
After, while I was reading the story about the bees. This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's ridiculously how easy you can scam the industry by calling your dog a service dog. That's unfortunate.
He doesn't even have a service dog.
I know.
He has a service beehive.
Some other people have done crazier things than that. Other people have somebody made a stuffed toy a service dog. Like, he literally took a picture of a stuffed toy, sent it in, and they put it on his service dog card.
What are we coming down to?
People will pay for anything.
I get people. You want to have your dogs and animals, and you love them. You want to be around them.
Oh, gosh.
I fully understand it. But when we're sticking ponies in purses and...
Well, in New York, have you seen what they do in New York City?
Hmm.
If your dog can fit in a bag, it can ride on the train with you. And people have been literally cutting out, like, giant bags and putting, like, huskies and German shepherds in them. Like, seriously, look it up, people. Like, it's out there. There's so many. Like, they take these big tote bags, like, you'll bring to the beach with all your stuff in it. They cut four leg holes on the bottom of it and literally put it on the dog, like, a bag.
You know, like, what?
It's hilarious.
If you're that type of person that has to go out there and find the loophole,
yeah,
and you find that loophole, by all means, write it out.
Yep. That was an interesting one. Like, I kind of, because I like... From a training point of view, like, it is nice for dogs to get out and go do things.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, ADA says, the law says, that only service dogs can go into establishments. And if you don't train for it, the dog won't know how to go into it. So if, like, just regular dogs, though, I mean, they could go out there and probably be better than some of these service dogs. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, I believe it. I you can tell, like, when you, especially on the nice days when everybody's out with their dogs.
Yeah.
You can tell the people that take the time and they've trained their animal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell the ones that, you know, they're sitting there trying to jog and they're getting tripped up with their dog.
Just
and
take Instagram pictures with their dog. And
I'm just like, gosh.
Yeah.
And I see it all the time and I'm driving
like
around.
I've literally seen it outside of school. Like, the other day I was watching a dude with, it looked like a Dalmatian, I think. And the Dalmatian was just pulling the dude right down the alley. Like, just straight across.
They make this. If anybody ever has an issue with their dog pulling and they want it to stop immediately, go to PetSmart, anywhere you can buy any sort of leash, any sort of training tool like that is called a gentle lead. I watched my mom drop a 190-pound German Shepherd with the flick of her wrist, and she was about 5 feet.
Gentle leaders? Oh, my gosh. My brain's about to explode.
It's not like a muzzle, but it goes over the nose.
Yeah.
They can fully open their mouth.
I think the those only are thing cruel it does punishment.
is as soon as that dog hits that certain spot, it's done and over with.
Yeah, but the bad thing is, I feel like those things can break a dog's neck. Like, if your dog is not properly trained on that thing, it sees something or it's, like, running past you and it just snaps his neck because, like, that's the motion, like, I think, like, it comes off the side of the dog's face. So it's, like, it's awkward pulling.
Yeah.
It's, like, awkward for the dog to walk with that thing on its face. I just think it's, like, completely unnatural.
Well, that's what I got when I went down to Disneyland. I got one of those for Tilly.
Yeah.
She learned 2 minutes.
Oh, I bet. Like, but it's just like, I think it's a hindrance. But with that, you can't train with that tool for any other command rather than walking on a leash.
Yeah, that's the only thing I use it for.
Yeah. And if you have to train your dog every, like, using a correction collar or a choke collar, a lot of people call them. I call them a correction collar.
I have one of those on her too.
Because I don't choke my dog, I correct my dog. And then I redirect him into doing what I want him to do. And then I reward him. But all I used in the Army was a correction collar like that. Same exact thing. It's what I work with on my Corso. That's what he's used to. Because I didn't know the e-collar training as much as I do now. But like he probably would have gone that route too. I
mean, oh, we've tried. Me and my buddy Andrew, we tried the e-collar. And she has too much fur. It would not go through.
You have to buy different contact points. That's all it is. Yeah, they e-collar technologies. If anybody needs dog training, e-collar technologies, ran by a great man, is probably the best e-collars out there. They go from zero, so no stimulation, all the way to 100. And depending on the size of the pod, you can go from a 200 model all the way up to a 900, I believe. And some dogs, like, I think they used to have a 1200 model, but they discontinued it, if I'm not mistaken. But some people put German Shepherds on two of them, or, like, bigger Mastiff dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They put two, like, I've seen two $1,200 or two 1200 model e-collars on one dog before, but they're all... There's a new company out there. I think it's called Chameleon, I think, or something like that. I'll have to look it up. But I want to try those collars because they also go from 0 to 100, and they have, instead of just two contact points on the pod, they have four contact points around the entire collar. So it distributes all of the stim everywhere evenly, kind of. So I think it's a really interesting concept. I really want to... Really want to try that one out because that would be fun.
How many watts or volts or how much juice are these things spitting out?
Depending on the size, like, I mean, on a 300 model, I mean, you could put it on full blast and, like, it'd just make your hand jump, you know? Like, it'd probably scare you more than it, like, actually hurts.
So, like, one of those little tens units you find when you're walking through the mall?
That's all it is. That's all it is, essentially, is a muscle tens unit meant for dogs. That's all it is. It's not a shock collar. There's no arc going from prong to prong, electrocuting your dog. It's a light stim.
Not until I modify it.
But, I mean, you literally have to go up in numbers, though. Like, all it is a numbers game because a human hand can barely feel the collar below a 15 or a 20, let's say. It's like it literally put it in the palm of your hand, the softest, most gentle part of your hand, and you won't even feel it until a 15 or a 20. Most dogs feel it immediately after a 3.
Nice. Well, with smaller the neck,
dogs,
yeah.
Yeah, with smaller dogs, I usually don't even go past 20 ever. It's just unnecessary. And if you're doing that underneath a 20 and your hand can't even feel it and your dog is becoming completely obedient and confident, I think, is a huge thing. Confidence building in dogs is, like, the most important part, I feel, because if your dog has low confidence but still knows how to do things, I don't know. It doesn't really work. You want high confidence dog. You want your dog to be happy and happy and go lucky and everything. Tail up, be able to jump on top of tables and whatever. But yeah, it's literally just getting the dog up onto higher objects on command, essentially.
Now, do you think you could take a 4-year-old German Shepherd that is skittish? He came from an abused home and do protection work with him?
No.
I didn't think so either.
Nope. You have to literally, I mean, it's hard to say, but it has to become a game. It that's all protection work is, really. It's a game.
Yeah.
And literally the game starts off with playing tug with your dog, just like everybody does. But we protection trainers just take that to a whole different level, because you have to transfer you have to start as a puppy too.
Yeah.
It's all essential to start protection training as puppies. That's why most dog trainers won't take older dogs for protection training, because they'll screen them if they're smart, and if they're too this or too much that, it's like not a good thing. It could become detrimental, like a bad situation, and then case law gets brought in and people get bit and you get sued, and your dog gets put down, like all bad things. So like that's why most good trainers, and not like I'm no expert in decoy work or protection training myself. I've done a little bit of it. I've dived into it in the last company that I worked for, but it's fun. It's really fun. Like, I got to work with police departments and everything in Colorado, take a couple of bites from them. I mean, they got some big German Shepherds out here, man.
They can crunch.
But yeah, you want to, like, most trainers will want to specifically pick a puppy and buy the puppy, incorporate the training into the cost of everything, and then send the owner that bill. And it is spendy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If
you're looking at up to $50,000, $60,000 for a service animal,
yeah,
for a protection dog, you're going to be paying that, if not double.
No, actually not. Like,
no?
It's, fully trained protection dogs, yes, they go for, tens, 20,000. I mean, way more than that sometimes. I mean, people sell the dogs for like $100,000 sometimes, but you have to find a diamond in dirt. Like, it's so hard.
Like that so one dog that's been bred from day one.
Yeah, and his entire family has done this for generations. Like, you can literally go online onto a registry somewhere and look at the lineage of certain breeds or certain dogs, and their family tree goes back 100 years plus, and they're all going back to Belgium, Germany, Holland. And they, like, maintain that, like, hard. Like, my last boss, he could track his dog for, like, 100 years. Like, his entire family, everything that was put into that dog. And it's a Czech line German Shepherd. Like, he's just a big German Shepherd. And he's a really awesome dog. And his family's been doing it forever. So, and we've got in Corsos that we turned down for protection training. And the one specific one I remember, he had a gentle leader on, and that dog was just out of this world, uncontrolled, with it on still. That's why I said that, is because that dog would have broken his neck, because he just didn't care. I mean, he was a little better, but there was so much energy pent up in that dog that it came out in bad bursts.
Ooh.
Very bad. And we're like, no, man, like, he'll probably take a bite, but he's scared. Like, it's fear aggression.
Mm-hmm.
But with that kind of dog, he would go so hard into it that just full out. Like, it was, and I saw that compared to my Cane Corso, and I was like, wow. Like, my Cane Corso was a couch potato, and that dog just... he had like every kind of collar on dog that you could possibly put on a dog, like everything all at once. And we're like, start taking stuff off, man. Like,
that's like scuba diving without a shark tank.
Yeah.
And you just poked yourself.
Yeah. you're,
and said, "Hey, let me jump in the water here."
Yeah, it's hard to watch sometimes. It's really hard to watch sometimes because like you want to work with the dog, obviously, but protection training is a difficult thing because again, case law, if that dog bites anybody, not in the right sense, like. You're going to face some serious hardships because of that.
Well, that's like one of the things that I talked to the police about here. About, you know, if, say, somebody broke into my house.
Mm-hmm.
What are the ramifications? What are the ramifications if I shoot that person?
Yeah.
And he was like, either way, you're going to jail for the night.
Yep.
Until we settle this. Oh, and sure, I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah, if somebody ever broke into my house... Like, my dog has bitten someone trying to feed him a treat through my door before because, I mean, I don't know, like, just a bad situation. I wasn't there for that. But, yeah, he pretty much degloved this dude's finger.
What would you expect, sticking your hand through a door like that?
Yeah. And to be honest, like, they tried coming after me, and I'm just like, no, it was the mailman. The mailman put his hand in my door. To feed my dog a treat when he knew the dog didn't was not friendly through a barrier.
Now, how many years, millennia, has a dog not gotten along with the postal worker?
Yeah, well, it's like, all it is a rewarding opportunity for the dog. Like, postman comes to the door, dog barks, postman goes away, dog thinks he won. Does it again. Another repetition. Even if you don't see it, the dog is learning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy. Like, and it's just consistent repetitions of every day. Boom. He comes up. I bark. He goes away. I think I won. That's all a dog thinks. It's crazy.
And even those videos that I watched, that's what the police were saying, is it's a game.
Yeah.
And like, when they get that bite, that's the reward.
And, I mean, you'll see those dogs' tail go straight up in the air like he just won the biggest prize ever. Because, like, starting off, you do rag work with the dog. It's like a leather rag, basically. You let the puppy bite on it, pull it around, drag him around, pull him off the ground. Like, just do different things with the dog.
Depending on what they're going to be doing, whether dogs or drugs, explosives, and they put that on the rag and...
We do that completely separately. That's a whole different ball game dealing with detection. But you start with little puppies on the rags, and then you work up to like a bite wedge, so like a pillow basically that they can bite on. You can still drag them around, pull them off the ground, just like straight up pick them off the ground, see if they'll still hang. Working on that grip of the bite. And then you move from the wedge to a sleeve, just a single sleeve. And once the dog bites you, the first thing you do is take the sleeve off and let the dog run with it. So every time we do multiple repetitions of that in different places, and it just kind of conditions the dog onto gripping and holding on and working through pressure because the decoy is going to be providing pressure, whether it's spatial pressure coming up to the dog or giving it physical pressure with like a jute stick, a little piece of broken bamboo that you basically just shake around, creates a loud noise. Whips are really used a lot initially just because it kind of mimics a gunshot. Yeah, eventually once you go from a sleeve and do multiple things of taking the sleeve off and having the dog run with it, and like it's a reward.
Yeah, I never knew about that one.
Yeah, so once you get the sleeve and you take the sleeve off, dog runs away with it, gets a reward. He's all happy, his tail's all up in the air wagon. And then you go to a sleeve, start working on bicep bites, tricep bites, leg bites. And that's pretty much it, like those just four spots pretty much.
I don't think you could do that with the service bee, could you?
No, you can't even do it. And by the way, listeners, service dogs cannot be protection trained. That is a fact. And that would be bad for anybody to try to attempt. Because if your dog bites somebody as a service dog, it'll be very bad for you. I promise. I've ran into someone that tried to do that. Or she started with a Malinois. I'm not a big fan of, I mean, I think they do great, but most people just can't handle them. So most people just shouldn't have them.
Well, that was like the Dalmatian. Yeah. Everybody was like, oh, they're on the movie. We got to go get one. Yeah,
they're aggressive. I mean, they can, like, I've only seen like two in my entire life. Like, I've seen them like in the past like 2 months too. Walking around Denver. Somebody was playing with their Dalmatian in a park. And then I saw one literally, like, walk across the street here. And I was like, is that a Dalmatian? Like, I've never seen one before.
Yeah, that's what I noticed here in Denver. Everybody has a dog.
Yeah. It's a very dog-friendly state, even though they are not dog-friendly when it comes to Cane Corsos. Even, did you know German Shepherds are on the ban list, too, in the state?
Yeah.
In this town. It's crazy.
They were trying to kick mine out of the apartment. And I was like, that's a service animal there, guy.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's ridiculous. And Chihuahuas are just everywhere, and like, just because they're small. I mean, I have a Chihuahua, so I'm a little different.
And those are the most...
I can talk my ones, smack.
The small ones are the most vicious.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, mine's the worst out of all of them, too. Like, all the other ones are just all bark and no bite. Like, mine'll bite you. if like, he will... Like, every time someone walks into the door of my house for the first time, if I don't say anything to him, like, I have to shoo him away. Like, he's that crazy. Granted, I haven't worked with that dog in, like, 2 years. But that's just kind of because if I do anything with him, I can go right back to the old routine. And he just pops back, and he's like, okay, I got to listen. Like, leave it off, go away, place over there, lay down, and just stay.
Yeah, but that's basically what mine do. They're with me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single time.
But yeah, it's just do your research, folks. I don't think veterans should be able to train their service dog because, I mean, they're going to need the training beforehand.
Hard no.
Guess what time it is? It's a 2 minute warning.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1. We have ignition. Strap in.
It's the 2 minute warning.
2 minute warning.
What we learned today.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Sponsored by Common Ground Golf Course in Colorado. A place for all and all the game teaches.
All right, folks, that is it for today's show.
What did you guys learn today?
Thanks for...
What did you learn?
Well, what did I learn today? I'm trying to rush things, everybody. Sorry,
I think somebody
that
just wants to go home.
No, man. Like, I'm just... still learning the process a little bit. Taking notes. Definitely taking notes. But what I learned today is... I guess I didn't really learn much. The movie was interesting, but the service bees, I already knew all that craziness. So, yeah, I hope somebody learned something about dogs today. If you have any questions, you can still call or text us at the show, and I'll get to your questions as soon as I can.
So I learned that somebody actually... I've made jokes about service animals. And that somebody actually went out and made a service bee.
It doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, everybody, people have tried almost everything.
I need to get one.
I just want some honey. So that is the show for today, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with an all-new show. And remember, you can listen to us again and again. The podcast of this radio show is available right after we go off the air tonight. And remember, we are here for you, not for us.
Giving our veterans a voice.